Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I am so excited to be here with you for season 8 of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. So a few months ago, I posted on Threads wondering if anyone would be interested in coming on the podcast as a guest. I could not believe the response I got. Hundreds of people reached out saying they wanted to tell their story on the podcast. Well, I can't interview hundreds of people for season 8, but what I can do is ask people to fill out a form and then fill out a Calendly and then schedule those conversations. And so without further ado, here is an episode recorded with one of my new friends on Threads. I hope you enjoy. Braxton, they, he is a DMV-based creative force, proud survivor of the Mormon cult, and someone who turns real life into art in every form they touch. Braxton works as a drag king, photographer, and wedding planner, creating bold, honest, deeply human moments for queer people and families. At their core, Braxton is driven by creativity, connection, and finding beauty in the messiness of real life. And when they're not creating, they're at home with their husband and delightfully chaotic crew of 13 animals. Braxton, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, 13 animals is a lot. They're all around me right now, so.
Who are they?
So I have 7 dogs, all over 50 pounds. They're all very large dogs. And then we have 6 cats.
Wow. And there aren't like regulations in your town of like certain number of animals?
So not in the city, but when we lived out in the county, there was. So we had to move to the city so that we didn't have to rehome anyone because they are all, it's like the cliche saying of like, they're all our family. They are all family and we're not rehoming any of them. So we had to, leave the county and come to the city so that they could all stay as one unit.
Wow. That's really special. That's nice.
Yeah.
So we all have multiple coming out stories and multiple coming into ourselves stories. And so I would love to hear one of those stories that you'd like to share with us.
Yeah, I think I'm doing a lot of thinking about which one I was going to share because I feel like as queer and trans people, we have a plethora. We have so many. But I think that all of my coming out stories is just one big story. So I'll try to spare some time and do it very quickly. But I realized I was, queer when I was, I would say like 14 or 15. And, as all high schoolers do, I got my first girlfriend and it was very exciting. But I was, raised in the Mormon church, so I had to keep it quiet. It was very much, you can't, explore your sexuality, whatever that looks like, especially not if it's going to be a same-sex attraction. So I kept it quiet. I was forced out of the closet by, a fellow churchgoer. And in the Mormon church, you are separated between gender. So we had this group called Young Women's, and it was basically like Sunday school for girls. And, we were just doing our regular lesson. And then all of a sudden, the teacher flips over to, and this is why homosexuality is a choice. And we're going to talk about it. And I was very, very offended because there's no way that this is random. I know the lesson plan. My mom also taught Sunday school. I know that this wasn't the lesson plan. So obviously this was, about me. And I kind of got up and I left the lesson and went and talked to church leaders and was like, this is not okay. And I was basically told like, if you don't want to hear about sexual or about homosexuality in church, then don't practice it. And so I, broke up with my girlfriend because I was so indoctrinated in the church that I was like, obviously you guys are right. Obviously I shouldn't be dating this girl. This is not what God wants from me. And so I broke up with my girlfriend, stayed in the church for a couple more years. And that's when I realized I was trans. I was dating a girl at the time again, because, you can't push your sexuality down. You can't, as much as people say that same that you're in the church, that people who experience same-sex attraction can live this fulfilling life with a person of the opposite gender, right? Like it's not real. So obviously I was still dating girls. And so I, was with my girlfriend at the time and, kind of figuring out if I wanted to go back to church. And she looked at me one day and she goes, "You remind me a lot of my friend who is this trans mask individual. Have you ever thought about that?" And that was, for whatever reason, that was a hard no for me. I was like, "I'll be queer, but I won't be trans. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just like a really masculine girl." And I remember, like, to this day, saying that out loud, I was like, this just like inside of my body was like, "Ew, why would you think that you're a girl?" And it was one of these things that I kind of like internally was struggling with, because as much as I, I'm queer, I love women, like they are, I've dated a bunch of women, like they're wonderful and beautiful creatures, and I didn't realize why I felt so uncomfortable being one. Like, why would I be uncomfortable being this beautiful thing? And so it took me a couple years after that. I toyed with, a new name and new pronouns, and finally landed on Braxton, finally landed on, I went through this journey of, binary trans man, and that didn't feel right. And so I, finally, several years later, I think that I've only actually started to realize what my true identity is within the past probably 5 years. And I realized I was trans when I was 18, and I'm now 30. So it's been a journey. And then, finally figured that out and realized that I actually don't like women. So it was this whole thing of, my dad didn't accept me, my parents didn't accept me because I was queer when I identified as a woman. But then when I identified as a man and had a wife and a girlfriend, it was okay, it's fine. I'd rather have a straight son than a gay daughter. Totally okay. And I was like, that's so strange. Like, what an interest, especially knowing what what the Mormon church, the Mormon cult teaches you. That was just so strange to me. But then, I met my husband and I was like, oh, I'm so gay. I don't know how that happened. I'm so gay. So that was, yeah, I've been like realizing my, who I am and my queer self for the past, what, 20 years at this point, or 15. I can't do math. I'm gay. But it's been a journey, but I have finally, gotten to a point where I am my true self. I am, very happy with who I am. And it was a journey, but I got here and my life is beautiful because of it.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And I think there's so much. I think what you shared is so resonant for so many queer people, of just this massive like moments of discovery and then moments of undoing and rediscovering. And it like I know for me, I was on a journey of like I'm gay and then I'm bi and I'm non-binary and I'm trans and just like I think language can be limiting, but I also think it can be freeing of like figuring out like for me it was like finding words and then kind of like centering myself around them and then letting go a little bit. But I'm curious, like when you first started your story, you realized you were queer when you were 14 and 15 and got your first girlfriend as like as people do. But like there was no world where I would like have a girlfriend in high school. Like I was terrified of even letting on that I was maybe even thinking about being a queer person in high school. And so I'm curious for you, like, because it just seemed so like duh for you of like, of course I'm gonna have a girlfriend. So can you talk a little bit about like that piece of the story of like, how did you find, just tell me more about that. Like, how did you find your girlfriend? How did you talk about it? Weren't you scared of being outed? Like, I want to know more about that.
I lived in a very small town where I was like small to a point where I was the only brown person in my entire school district. And so when someone else was queer, it was very obvious of like, okay, you're not the typical, normal, skinny, blonde hair, straight white girl. So And so it wasn't like I was like, ooh, I want a girlfriend. It was more so like, well, I don't want any of the guys. Well, actually, no. What it was I had a really close friend who was a guy, and I started to dress a little bit more masculine, not letting any no, I didn't think I was letting anyone know I was queer. Obviously, my husband was looking at photos of me yesterday, and he goes, "The closet was a glass window. What are you talking about?" But I, talking to one of my friends who, I was really close with, and at, looking back, I had a crush on, but, and I was dressing a little bit more masculine, and he looked at me and he said my dead name, and I'll share it, whatever. He goes, "Hey, Stephanie, like, you're not, no man is going to want you when you look like that." And I was like, "What? What do you mean?" And so he was like, "Yeah, like, you look like a lesbian." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And in my head, I was like, "Oh no, he knows that I'm gay. Oh no, oh no, oh no." So like it was kind of like that weighing on me for a little bit, and being like, "Okay, well, I guess that I'm gonna have to start looking for a girlfriend then." I'm autistic, and so I was like, "Okay, you give me a rule." So I had so here's the new rule. So I guess like if I'm not allowed to date men, then I guess I have to go date women. Yeah, me coming out was very autistic. But yeah, so I was like, "All right, let me, do the scan, look at all the queer girls. Who can I date?" And there was just this one person that, I didn't even, looking back on it, I didn't even like her. I was just like, "You're the only other gay girl in my area, so I guess I have to date you." And it wasn't very much I guess our relationship in high school was more like, if when you think of like middle schoolers getting their first partner, like, we were like hee hee ha ha holding hands on the way to class, and did a quick little peck when no one was watching, and then disappeared. We went on a couple vacations together, and not even like, it wasn't like as girlfriends. It was like, "This is my friend. Can she come on vacation with us?" And then we would like snuggle and hold hands under a blanket while we're watching TV or something. Yeah, but it wasn't very like loud and proud, I think, like I had pictured it being. But I also think it was very obvious to everyone else around us, and I was terrified of people finding out. I like there was two girls who went to my church, who also went to the school that I went to, and anytime like I would look at their class schedule to make sure that me leaving little block A with my girlfriend to go to block B, I would never p cross paths with them. So yeah, it was a lot. It was really tiring trying to hide it. And I think that relationship specifically taught me that no one's opinion of me is worth the stress that it took to hide a relationship.
Yeah, for sure. That's deep. That's deep. So you're on this journey. So where, how did you, I'm actually curious, like, how did you respond to this person saying like, no one's ever gonna want to date you, looking like that's like mean. That's not nice.
I actually did a self-portrait session when I got older, and did a lot of work in therapy, and really like that was I had realized that that was kind of like the beginning of my self-esteem issues. And I did this self-portrait session where I wrote down all the mean things that people had said to me specifically about my gender identity or my sexuality. And then I paired it with the opposite of, so at that time I was, married to a woman, and it was that one was like, "No one's ever gonna love you when you look like that." And I had put the picture up, and then there was me and my wife say or my ex-wife standing next to the sign, just like sharing a really joyful moment. And I think up until I did that, like, self-guided therapy, I was like, something was really weighing on me. And you're right, it was mean. And it really, I think that if he had not said that to me, I would have had a much more natural coming into my sexuality. Like, I wouldn't have thought that I could only date girls because, quote, boys wouldn't want me. Now that I'm older and I see all my friends in relationships, I'm like, "Oh, look at these masculine with these really femme men, and y'all love each other, and I wish I had that." I don't think that I would have. I also am grateful for that, in a sense of, I think that was probably the little seed that planted for me to realize that I was trans. I think, like you said earlier, like, labels for me, like you said, for you, are really freeing, in a sense of like, now I know what I'm not. Because like even now today, my husband's like, what is your gender? Like when people like I have to put stuff and I'm like, not girl, is that an option? Like I don't know, but like having that label of you are a girl really helped me realize that I'm not. So I think that with him not saying no boy's ever going to want to date you when you look like that really helped me realize like in the future that like if I would have not listened to him and if I would have just told him to, kick rocks and tried to date, men looking like a masculine woman, air quotes, because I realize we're on a podcast, no one else can see that. that I don't think I would have realized I was trans, at the time that I did. And I think that realizing that I was non-binary and really realizing that I was trans really saved my life.
Yeah, amen, same. So as you were like going through your journey, what was it? How did it like click for you? You're like, "Oh, wait, I'm actually like so gay." Like, was there a moment, or like, how did you actually stumble upon that realization?
I really hope my ex-wife doesn't ever hear this. But I cheated on my ex-wife with a guy. Because I was like, there's just something in this relationship that I'm missing. And I had, made a fake profile on a dating site. This guy that I had, had seen in passing in my town super liked me. And I was like, oh, you think I'm cute? Okay. Went over to his place, did the do and came back home. Felt really bad, obviously, for cheating on her, but I was like, oh. That's what I was missing in this relationship. It's not that we weren't didn't have a great relationship because her and I had this beautiful relationship and we stayed friends for a really long time after we split. And she taught me a lot of things, but there was just like she wasn't a man. She was or not even that she wasn't a man, right? Because like I, my husband is also, non-binary, but like she was a woman. And that was the fact that I was like, oh. That's what I'm missing. I'm missing the type of love that like only, non-women can give. I don't want, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, like that was what I was missing. And so I hope she never hears this, but I think she knows, but I don't think that she would, want everyone knowing. But I cheated on her and that's when I realized that I did not like women at all in the slightest.
Yeah, I guess I hope she doesn't hear this either if you don't want her to hear it.
He's fine.
So
He's a
stay
good sport.
away. So I want to talk quickly about, well, not quickly, but I want to talk about where did it go here? Okay, so like the art that you do, like you're a drag king, you're a photographer. So like how did you get in touch with this creative side of yourself, and like what's your favorite part about it?
So I started photography at a really young age. Again, it was the sort of like my parents didn't believe in therapy, because the church doesn't believe in therapy. So I was trying to figure out what sort of like things could I could do as a form of self-therapy. And I always had a really artistic eye. And so I had gotten into photography at a very, very young age. But as I got older, it turned into more of I didn't have any photos of myself being my queer, authentic self. And so I pivoted my business model from wedding photography to specifically photographing trans and queer people in a way of look. Like the way that I branched out into that is I ended up photographing. I did this like pop-up photo session of people who transitioned after or realized who they were, came into themselves after they graduated. So I did free senior photos, graduation photos essentially for, folks who had graduated and didn't, like they look back on their senior photos and they're like, oh, that's not me and I wish. And because, because someone did that to me. They posted and they said, and I looked at my, senior photo and my degree that had the wrong name on it. And I was like graduating college and graduating high school is really important to me. And I didn't do that as my true self. So I pivoted my business model to doing that, which led me into documenting queer love, whether that be in a relationship, in a family, or queer love with yourself. And that really, really opened up like the just like the way I view things and the way I view art. And I no longer view photography as documenting memories. I now view it as creating forever lasting memories, for people who didn't, who can't, who don't have the opportunity. Because even though I live in an area that is really accepting and really like, I live in a blue state, it's still that, like, we still, people are still afraid to hold hands, and people are afraid to put up, their family photos on the internet because of whatever reason. And so I pivoted all of my art to specifically queer art. So that's, I got into drag because I am, a very, I move a lot, as you can see. And I wanted to put that energy somewhere. I dance in my car all the time. I love makeup. And I was, and so my, and my husband does drag. And I was like, well, I want to do that, but I don't want to be a drag queen because I think that would make me dysphoric. And he was like, drag kings exist. And I said, what? No way. So I did a bunch of research on the internet about drag kings. And I said, that's it. That's what I want to do. So it's very much, it was, yeah, it was just the creative bug of queer love and what does queer love look like, and how can I recreate that to make everyone around me and myself happy?
That's amazing. I love something struck me that you were talking about how you, like the different kinds of love that you document, and one of them was loving yourself. And I'm curious, like, what does loving yourself look like?
Like, in like what the, like the stuff that I've documented, or like me personally loving myself, or both?
Both.
I think the photo shoot that I did that really has really stood out to me, was this, in one of my self-love sessions, was one of my now friends, at the time we weren't friends, but one of my friends had just gotten top surgery, and they have been waiting their entire life for top surgery, and we took photos specifically of, like, around their chest and doing things that they can't do, like walking down the streets of the city without a shirt on, that kind of stuff, the stuff that they couldn't do pre-top surgery. And like, I go into their house now, and this photo shoot was 5 or 6 years ago at this point, but I go into their house now, and still they have this big blown up photo that's the size of like a massive TV in their living room, a photo that I took. And they're like, Braxton, this is the most seen that I've ever felt in my entire life. And every time I go into their house, I cry, and I'm like, I can't go into your house because I'm gonna cry because it's just this, that, and the other. And so, yeah, just like being able to document that kind of stuff. And also, like, I had a friend who, had got recently gotten a divorce, and was just like, I have no photos of myself, and I forgot who I was, and I forgot how to love myself. And so we went out and we just took photos of them being, alone, or not even alone, but them being like single, them being themselves, them being, this whole other person that, who's not attached to this person that they can't stand. And that was a really grounding moment, like, session for me too. For me, I think loving myself is drag, is art. I'm also, I own a small wedding planning business, and I think getting to like plan people's love story over and over and over again is a form of self-love for myself, because I just love love. It's not even, it's not a problem, but my husband always goes, I'm like, when are we going to plan our 5-year anniversary? Well, I want to do that party. And he's like, do you know how much the wedding cost me? And I was like, I know how much the wedding cost us. I want to do it again. I love love. So I think, like, documenting love and being there for, people's greatest moments is a form of self-love for me. And I think that's why I got into the business that I am.
I love that. That's amazing. So I have one final question for you, and it's a doozy. Are you ready?
Ready.
Bagels or donuts?
Oh. See, oh, that is a doozy. 'Cause I love a good everything bagel with strawberry cream cheese. But also, I love, there's a place, in my hometown, or not my hometown, there's a place where I live called Dulceology. It's like a croissant donut place. And anytime I have a day off, my husband and I go there, and it's like our little cute little date night or date spot. So I think I'm gonna have to say specifically croissant donuts. That's my final answer.
Okay.
Great. Braxton, this was so lovely. Thank you for joining me, for sharing. I really appreciate it. And thank you for documenting all kinds of love, queer love. It's so important. And thank you for coming out.
Always.
Thank you for coming in.